All right, I have to think about this. Okay, because you know you hit me up with all this other information is like it is like processing all that. Oh man.
Well, it's episode 5, and wow. I know the year's going by fast. I'm 40 now. When this episode airs.
Oh yeah,
I will be 40 because my birthday will have been the day before.
Yeah.
So welcome to 40 to me. You're already there. And yeah, people keep telling me that 40's a different feeling. I think I've been feeling it for the last few months. It's just like fuck you, pay me kind of feeling like mm-hmm. really. You really can't tell me. You couldn't tell me nothing like when I turned 30.
Yeah.
But 40.
It comes with a different energy. It's almost not even so much it comes with a different energy as much as it almost feels like you have permission to kind of like exert more of it than you were before.
Now, I mean, but then it's like, so because I consistently, either people really are like blowing smoke on my ass or I really do look as young as people say I do. So that's also really weird because I'm 40, but people be like, oh, but I thought you were like 28. And I'm like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. I was like, maybe if you said like early 30s, I could go with you there, mm-hmm. depending on what I'm wearing and how my makeup is and mm-hmm. all that. I was like, but I legit had a girl. Maybe she was young, so maybe she just don't know how to age people. She was like, oh, I thought you were in your 20s. I was like, bless your heart, baby. Showing my age. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
I haven't been in my 20s for 20 years now. I'm a grown-ass woman.
Yo, it definitely hits you, especially knowing that, it only, and granted, like, it's all about living in the moment, but, like, 50 becomes a little bit more closer now than it was before. It's like, damn. Because, like, this year I'll be 41. Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Just like that.
Just like
that. The thing is I'll just be like, so, because, I'm like, is 50 the time that people are really still having, like, midlife crisis? Is that still the thing? Because I know I had a quarter life crisis at 25. I definitely had the quarter life crisis at 25. It really was just like, because I don't, most of us got the whole thing of like how I don't honestly can't even say where I heard or learned or believed that by 25, I will have graduated college, I will have a husband and at least a kid, and I'll be in my career and just I'm killing it. And at 25, my life didn't look anything like that, and so I was like, what? I had no fucking clue. Damn. And to know, like, there were a few people that I know that at 25, that was their life. Mm-hmm. And so many of them were, like, getting divorced around that time. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, well, I guess I'm not too sad because I could be a divorcee. Not no shame because, hey, if it's not working, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't rush into a marriage just to be married because my high school boyfriend definitely thought, oh, you're going to get your degree and I'm going to get my degree. And then right when, college is going to end and we'll graduate and then I'll propose to you and we'll get married. And I'm like,
okay, why don't we just start the podcast now?
Oh, we in there. We in there. Like, who said? Who told you that's what I wanted? Like, at that, I was like, well, maybe I want to live by myself for you. Like, can I be an adult without being married? And I think that was weird for me because it was really weird. And I think that was probably a good sign that I just didn't want to marry him
mm-hmm.
because I had been raised to be a wife. And so when he's telling me that this is the plan, fully thinking that I was going to be all for it. I was just like,
well, that's where mm-hmm. things go wrong because the only message we get is being the husband or the wife. That's it. You can't be the boyfriend, girlfriend, 7-year partner, domestic partner, none of that. Oh, if you're not a husband or a wife, your relationship doesn't matter. We're not even going to talk about how it is in the church. So,
I mean, but you know, and it's funny because when I think back, honestly, I don't even think it was really about him wanting to be married. Because him and I were together on and off for 5 years. Now, granted, we were in high school, so like, how real could that be, right?
Yeah.
But he was sexually active and I wasn't. I honestly can think, yeah, I think that he's like, oh, well, I'm going to let her finish school and we're going to get married so we can have sex.
That sounds about right. That logic sounds on point.
I mean, I'm grateful that he never like tried to force himself on me. He didn't like coerce me, but you know, he was cheating on me with many, many girls. So yeah. But and he knew like for me that it wasn't gonna happen before college. Because my mother, she got pregnant with me in college at 19 and had me at 20. And she went to college with no sex education whatsoever. And I don't know what my grandparents were thinking. Like, she graduated high school at 17. She went to a college in Goshen, Indiana, which was like a Christian college that a lot of the kids from the church all went to.
Oh, even worse.
And they, right. And they thought, oh, she's a Christian girl and she knows not to have sex. And she's going to this Christian college and all these other Christian teens from their church are going. And they just never talked to her about sex. And then she met my father. Actually, she knew my father, met my father, and she was friends with my aunt, who also went to that school. And I don't know. All I can do is believe her. Because she tells me that my father was super fine. And he's from Belize, so you got a Puerto Rican girl, and he's from Belize. Mm-hmm. And then my mom's saying, and she has, so for those of you who have never seen her, think like Sade.
Yes.
But the Puerto Rican version with waist-length hair.
Yes, yes.
That's
your
my mom.
Yeah, that
and
is
my
your
mother
mom.
Is like, her waist-length hair is like her signature. So if you've known her, you've
her hair's
always,
still that long?
Yeah. Her hair, like she's cut it a little bit, but
yeah, but like that's yeah, oh.
her signature throughout her life is her waist length jet hair. Black hair,
jet
and
black.
Then she sings and plays the guitar, and so like she was known on campus because she sang with the band, but she wasn't having sex, and somehow her teachers knew that, and she says that one of the teachers at the school told her that if she didn't sleep with my dad, that the teacher would. Yeah. And I mean, I've heard crazier. And
true.
So she goes to my aunt and like, she didn't know how to wear makeup. Cause again, we're very, very strict Pentecostal upbringings. And she didn't know how to wear makeup or anything like that. And my aunt's like trying to teach her how to wear makeup. And she ends up having sex with my dad and they conceive me, except she doesn't know until it's summer break. And she finds out she's pregnant on summer break, and they weren't really a thing. And then this is the 80s.
Yeah,
so there's no internet, no cell phone. They didn't have pagers. There's no email. And they didn't exchange numbers for like back home. And when my grandparents found out she was pregnant, they like forbade her from going back to school and all that. And so my father found out, like rumors, because despite no email and no cell phone,
rumors will always get around.
And he was in Chicago, and he's hearing rumors that she's pregnant, and obviously he knows he's up with her. And so he's trying to find out in any way that he can whether or not it's his, because he also knows, well, we're working together. And so he's not trying to assume she's a whore, but it's also not impossible that, you know. And interestingly enough, because he wasn't Puerto Rican, like her Puerto Rican friends that could have connected them, because they're all from back home in Defiance, would not help him.
I always find that, sidebar, I always find the fact that you were born in Defiance, Ohio, and who you are now is like...
Listen, God don't make no mistakes.
No. Like that, it is, every time I hear that, every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, Selena.
Like I was born in defiance, y'all. Defiance. And thank you, Shonda Rhimes and Scandal, because now people know that defiance is a real thing. Because up until Scandal, people be like, where? That's a real place?
Defiance, Ohio.
And I'm like, yeah, it is. And so now, you know, people like, if I'm like, did you watch Scandal? Yeah, defiance is real. And actually is actually a very key part of the election and everything. Like, it's all of that part is actually real. And so I was born there under those circumstances. So, you know, every boyfriend that I had at that point, which weren't many, because again, we were together for off and on for 5 years, like, knew I'm not having sex. Because you grow up in this, you know, this world that Puerto Ricans are also extremely fertile.
Yes.
And my mom had me at 20, and then she had my sister, you know, with her ex-husband. And although I know it's a stereotype, I know people in Puerto Rico that have like 20 kids.
Yes.
Like, my grandmother and grandfather is one of their best friends in Puerto Rico that were associated with the church that we were part of. Their friends, the father, who was the pastor of Fuente de Salvación Misionera Incorporada, which is Fountain Salvation Missionary Church Incorporated, his mother had like 23 kids.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's those rice and beans. It's those rice and beans.
Listen, that's, I don't know what.
That's special it's sauce.
Something about the air, something. Like 23. And she, unfortunately, like, even outlived some of them. Like, she had like a couple twins and a triplets. And like, and so when you know that the stereotype is based on real shit, and you're someone like me, it's like, I'm not going to have a child out of wedlock at 20 and you know, ruin my life, which is kind of a sucky thing to think, because I was because... the child that came from that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, mom, just to let you know, I am not going to ruin my life like you did.
I'm not going to ruin my life like you did. I'm not going to let a child ruin my life like I ruined yours.
Exactly.
Like, damn, that's fucked up. It is. Not today's episode. We're going to talk about that in another episode.
Oh yeah,
but
we still love you.
me just ruining lives, born in defiance and ruining lives. I should get that on the shirt.
Yes, that
for
is
all the people in defiance. That's for us.
Yes,
but you know, I think like when I lived with my mom in Maryland, like that experience for her definitely. Influence as much as she's like, you know, very much Christian and believe that, you know, abstinence very much influenced how she told me about sex. So I was like 9, which when I talk to most of my friends, that is pretty early.
That is pretty,
and
you're in fourth grade.
Yeah. It was pretty early. And then the way that she told me about sex, being a Christian woman that's like, we're abstinent, was very unconventional.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And at that point, like, I also has started my cycle that year, which is what prompted her to talk about sex.
See, and that's the hard part. Because, like, you can't have that conversation without, I mean, because what, you're going to be that 9-year-old every month? Wondering, like, this happens to me, but nobody else. Like, why?
And it's weird because I think about it too. Like, you know, with girls, a lot of times we're just like, oh, they're having their cycle. They can get pregnant. We got to talk to them about babies. But I'm like, what is it for boys?
Non-existent. Actually,
like, what happens in a boy's life biologically that may or may not prompt the family to be like, oh, it's time? Like, is it the moment they figure out they have a penis? What was it for you, I guess?
Well, first of all, you know, I come from a my Haitian background.
I was like, did they talk to you about it?
Listen, my Haitian background, my Catholic background, it was like non-existent. Like, my parents never had that conversation. Never. Even though I found things in the house that made me realize, like, yo,
wait, y'all, you was finding condoms?
No, I wasn't. I found videos.
Oh,
you know, back in the day, all you had was a video.
The hairy videos? Were they really hairy?
Yo, that was yeah, that was a thing. That was a thing. And you know, the music is like just weird, like
cock.
So anyway, Mom, I know you're not gonna be watching this, but by chance, if you do, I did not all of
the videos.
I found the videos, right? So anyway, it was just for boys. I'm telling you, it was not talked about. It was, you know, you just figured it out, which sucks because, like, you have if you have a man in your life, you're hoping that, you know, he'll guide you along and tell you some things. He'll tell you everything else: how to fix a house, how to fix your credit, how to fix whatever. But when it comes,
probably told him either.
And that's what it comes down to. Like, it's like, you know, it's like being on the job, and they tell you you're going to learn on the job. We're not going to show you how to do it. Just every day, just figure it out.
All these things are happening. You'll probably wake up in the middle of the night and be like, "Oh shit!" And nobody, and you can't tell nobody.
You can't, right? Because you're like, what just happened? And why is this happening?
I'm gonna get in trouble.
Like, this is not cool. But then when I went to our youth group, love our priest there, and he showed us the videos, like the abortion videos, where it's like, you know, just
he was trying to scare y'all straight.
Listen, scare us straight, okay? And you know, at that point, I think for me specifically, I just never, it was like never a thing for me. I feel like I experienced puberty way later than everybody else. Like, it just skipped over me for a little bit. It was like, you know what? It's about that time. And everybody else is just enjoying themselves. But no, like, and even though, mind you, even though there were friends of mine having sex, eventually we're having kids, you know, it was still like this taboo thing that we don't talk about. And, you know it's floating in the air, but nobody wants to recognize what it is. And nobody wants to be honest about the fact that this is a natural part of relationships. Like, especially when you're going, you know, and like you said, for women, it's different. You literally get a reminder every month. Just in case you forgot.
And when you become sexually active, you'd be like, come on, girl, come on. Come on, man.
Come on.
She'd be a day late, like, no, Lord, please. I don't want to be pregnant.
It is.
And then she come, you'd be texting your friends.
Yes. Yes, he's here.
I'm safe.
Well, you know, I think that's why women are, you know, in some ways further along, because you're dealing with the adult reality, right? That's an adult thing. Even though you're a child, you're still dealing with the idea that, you know what, I could actually bring a life, and I'm like 12. You know,
and not even just that you bringing a life, but either you're being told, or you know, based off what you see, mm-hmm. that you bring a life into the world and you are going to be responsible for it, because it's way too easy for whoever I'm sleeping with to just walk away. If he got me pregnant, which is again my reality, because mm-hmm. I'm a daughter of a single mother. Me and my mother are 20 years apart. Now, I was raised, you know, between her and my grandparents, so she had help in that way. But my father didn't know, and you know, they never tried to find him. It probably would have been hard to. Again, no internet. She knew his last name, but his name is very common, so it wouldn't have been like Matthew Smith kind of name. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you that's know. Not his name, by the way. But you know, it's just like. So it was really weird, because for me, like, so I'm having my cycle. Of course, you know, there's all these things happening. Eventually, like, because I was in the sports and stuff, I learned really early also to use tampons. And they put me on birth control because to help regulate my cycle. And my mother was like, that doesn't mean that you can have sex. And just because you're using tampons doesn't mean you're not a virgin anymore. And I'm just sitting there like, what? I'm not thinking about that. And so she like sat me down. I could still see the apartment and was telling me like, look, we're Christian. And so we believe in waiting till for sex until marriage. But at the same time, like now that you've reached a stage in your development, like there are going to be things that are happening to your body. And there's going to be hormones that you're experiencing. And so if you feel like you want to have sex, I hope that you'll trust me enough to tell me. But if for some reason you feel like you can't, here's a bag of condoms. It'll be here. You don't even have to ask for it. You just come and get them. I want you to tell me, but if you can't, I would rather you be safe. And, you know, because not only do we not want kids, we also want you to not get anything. Mm-hmm. So you have full access to this bag. And there's like female condoms in there and male condoms in there. And just come and get them and make sure that he uses them.
You know, she was counting every single one, right? Every night. She's like, do I need a refill?
Now, of course, I'm telling my friend as a child and then even as an adult, it was like, one, if you know my mom, they'd be like, your mom? And I'm like, yes, my mother. And then comparing stories and most people are like, yeah, no. Now, what was wild to me was I was like, even then, I was like, my mother don't know me. I ain't having no sex. Like, because everything in me was like, oh, he could put on 3 condoms and I'm getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thanks, but I don't need this. I'm not even thinking about this.
Listen,
shit.
That 1%, you would be that 1%.
Like, everything in me was like, no matter what precaution that we take, I'm going to end up just like you. And I don't want to be like you. And the most visible way to do that is to not get pregnant. And the only way to be sure that I'm not getting pregnant is mm-hmm. if I don't have sex.
Yep.
Now, where she probably could have done better, and I get why she focused on that, is she didn't talk about anything else.
Which is the part that really hurts a lot of us, right? Because you're telling us about the potential child, right? But you're not telling about all the other fun things that we can get if we're not careful.
I mean, that can
impact our lives for the rest of our lives. And
because fast forward to like 16, 17, when I'm dealing with boys, because now I'm back from Florida and I'm in high school now. And of course, then I didn't know, like, the innocence that I kind of portrayed, you know, is very much related to my autism. And so there were a lot of things I just wasn't getting. And I'm coming back to Maryland at a time where, kind of like you were saying, like, oh, I feel like puberty skipped me. And so I knew biologically puberty didn't skip me, but there were so many things that I did not understand
mm-hmm.
that was going on, and everybody was doing it. And so it made it, I was very, very susceptible and very naive and getting caught up with boys who essentially coerced me into giving them head. And no one ever talked to me about that.
Yeah. Again, not part of the chapter. Like, you're not. And it's even just the idea. It's hard to deal with the topic when people's idea of sex is so small, right? It's so small and so restrictive that you think by just telling me don't do it. Don't have a child. You're covered for life. Like, you leave that conversation thinking, I'm good. Anything else I do under the umbrella does not count, right? It just, you just forget the oral part of it. You gotta add the extra words to it. It's not just sex.
And I felt so much shame because at the time, like, I had a boyfriend and I wasn't giving him head because he didn't coerce me or force me or try to do anything, but he was giving me head as often as he could.
You're a magician.
And what are the kids that he's a munch? He was a munch.
He was a munch.
He was definitely a munch. And then where I lived at the time, like, in all the ways, I didn't feel like I could say no. Like, they never, like, physically forced me anything, but I just, mm-hmm. I never felt like I could say no. I wasn't equipped for navigating that, yeah. Especially with boys I wasn't in a relationship with them, like, I knew that I didn't want to do it, because if I would have wanted to do it, well, I would have been doing it to the dude that was giving me it.
How about that, right? No, I
now you can't stop. No. No one told me I would love it this much.
Let me just check off. Well, I think there is a as much as there's a physiological, I think there's a psychological aspect to it, in the sense that it is a biological function, right? Like, if you just remove the shame and remove all the other stuff, it's just a biological function that human beings go through, right? Just part of our survival, part of our existence. And yet, the thing that populates the world, the thing that is so visible, like, you see children. You didn't see them before, but now you see them. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the children that just popped up in the carriage or the popped in your belly, right? You know?
And birds and the bees, right?
Birds and the bees. The storks.
I never got the birds and the bees or the stork thing. So I'm like, I don't think that would have worked for me.
No.
I think I'm way too inquisitive to be like, huh?
Oh, I would have been asking questions all day.
Yeah, like.
Like, really, what happened with that stork after the fact? Like, where did he come from? What was the other stork? Who was she involved in? And you know, the more and more I think about it,
I just thought of a joke. Wait, so if the stork brings the babies, what bird is the one that takes the babies away? I think that's how it goes. A swallow.
That was a good one. That's gonna be I'm gonna have to write that one down. It's gonna be a new party joke. If you wanna break the tension in the room.
Shout out to all the swallows out there.
We love you. You're a rare breed.
Eat your vegetables, drink your water. Okay.
I you know, and unfortunately, like, you know, we can laugh about it now. But there, you know, there was a point for me where it was like, it was just a topic that I just wanted to avoid. Like, it was just like, it just was demonized in many ways for me. And the moment that I had sex, it was like, I you know, you could have told me that the devil came up, gave me a ticket to hell. It was like, I'll see you there. Like, that was the, I mean, the weight of all that religious doctrine and just all of it just came down on me. And I was like, oh my gosh. But it happened again.
Because, you know, until you have it, you don't know what you're missing.
Oh.
And I mean, and then for me, like, you know, because I was so, I'm not having children, I'm going to finish college. I was 23 and I was just like, I just kind of got to a point. I was like, and I've talked about this on a podcast, so if you heard this before, whatever. But I'm like, I literally was just like, why am I still waiting? This is bullshit. And, you know, it was somebody that I was close with at the time, but nobody that I didn't want to be with him. Mm-hmm. I was attracted enough to him, but not really. There was no feelings. And so I'm just like, yo, come downstairs. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, nigga, you really about to turn down pussy? Like, is this happening right now? And I told him to lay down, and I rode him my first time.
Wow.
I know, right?
You was just this aggressive out there, just jumping right in.
And so, you know, he was someone who was experienced. So, you know, I'm glad I waited because I didn't have that like tragic.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a waste. Like, this is what I've been waiting for experience. Now, he wasn't worth it. I definitely could have picked someone better. He was just the closest one around.
You know who you are.
If you're watching this.
So sorry. So sorry.
But hey, you know. Because at the time, I also didn't realize, like, oh, I'm going to be penalized for being 23 and a virgin, because men don't actually want to have, at that age, men don't actually want to take a woman's virginity. I'm just like,
we don't want the kids.
But that too, but like, there are men that's like, no. And I was like, but women who have sex are shamed. And now mm-hmm. I'm being shamed for being a virgin. How much fucking sense does that make?
None. Absolutely.
How does that work?
Well,
I'm a virgin and that's a problem. But if I was having sex, that's also a problem. So I'm supposed to have sex. I'm just supposed to be good enough that no one actually claims to have had sex with me. So that way I can seem virginal, but not really be virginal, because you don't want to be the one to take my virginity, because you're scared that if you take my virginity, that I'm going to like fall in love with you and get attached to you.
Deniability. That's what it all comes down to. Well, and that's what our parents did, right? A lot of our parents, adults around us, who we knew weren't married, right? You know, that was auntie, but auntie only in name. that was uncle, but you know, we know uncle lady, had a couple of extra.
This lady I know has a daughter who's like 16, 17, and she really got her daughter calling her friend uncle. Such and such. And I was like, I think she's old enough to know that that's not her uncle.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Let's just be honest. But that, you know, so I think it bothered as I became an adult like you, I got to a point where I was just like, this is stupid. Like, this is nonsense, especially coming from people who probably went about it the same exact way that we did, and yet you still came out all good and, you know, everything was fine, but yet...
The thing, it's not fine. It's that people get really good at hiding their shit.
Mm-hmm. Their past, right?
Yeah, like they just... You know, or we get this, we have this thing in church, I guess, black people, like you get married and all your sins are wiped away. Oh. And everything, and now that you're married, none of that matters. And I was like, nah, he's still that same trifling nigga. Just because he married, don't change. Like most men, don't just change their stripes. They might get better at hiding them because now they got a whole lot more to lose. Or they might actually try for a while, but without like actually. And it's sad too, because I also, even with you, like there are so many men that, you know, I tend to be a safe place for people. So they tell me shit and they be like, I don't know, I'm telling you this. I'm like, it's okay. I'm okay. But so many men have told me similar things where no one mature, an adult or parent figure actually told them about sex. The way that they found out about sex was either finding porn and or an older, but not like adult person, like an older brother, older cousin, showing them porn.
So either way,
or introducing them to doing stuff.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Like, you know, and even worse was how all the men that have told me that have later on, you know, have also told me in that it opened them up to being violated and molested and raped.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're doing stuff with other boys, either your age or a little bit older or whatever, and none of you really know what's going on. And you're just trying to figure that shit out. And you're figuring that shit out with each other.
Yeah, and none of you are qualified to be figuring anything out with each other at all.
And I have to be the one now to say, you were violated. You know, that was like, he was 17 and you were 6.
And that's the scariest part of it all. right? I mean, for all laughs and giggles, that's the part that of course, there are people in the church who hide when things like that happen because of all the repercussions, but that's a family thing, right? That when things like that happen, sometimes people can't wrap their minds around it. And as a result, it becomes, again, deniability, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's not what happened. You were just thinking something else. And now that child now has to internalize that moment as something that it's not, right? And then it almost leaves it open for other opportunities because an adult told me that I trusted that it was nothing.
Yep. And more than likely, they're doing that because that was what was done to them. Because unfortunately, that is such a prevalent generational trauma that so many of us, you know, if we ever get it, because, you know, a lot of our parents and grandparents just don't talk about it. But if you ever hear or they actually tell you, then you sit there and be like, oh, this same thing happened to them. And we know how often, you know, how much that was part of being enslaved. And so there was no going to anybody back then. You shut up.
I think there's actually a documentary coming out about that, like slaves and how they were used as, you know, to populate, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're whole farms, kind of.
I think the thing that people also don't talk about is, yeah, I could be married, right? But what happens when I have that moment as a spouse and I say, I don't want to have sex tonight or whatever, and you still force yourself anyway?
Well, right? I mean, it's a rather recent thing that's now considered rape. Because, and I don't think that's even across every state. I think there might be some states that's still not considered
rape. Yeah, because, you know, there's always that idea of consent, right?
Because it's like, oh, well, you're married, so you don't have to consent. And I'm like, the fuck I do? Or fuck I don't?
And that goes back to the idea of status, right? It's like, once we supposedly establish this status, this label, then everything should go. So as long as you're a virgin, this is how things should go. As long as you're married, this is how everything should go. And I've, you know, as an adult now, the people that have influenced, I could say, my sexual journey are the people who weren't afraid to be themselves. And they weren't shamed by what other people thought about them and were open enough to say, listen, this is just the reality of my life. This is what happens. I still enjoy it, but you need to know, like, this is what happens. And the moment you start talking about it, because I know right now there's a podcast, there's a couple that I watch and I love them to death because they talk about sex all the time. And it's honest. Just honest, fun, loving conversations. And the moment they begin to talk about it, it gives permission for other people to then talk about it, or at least begin to think about having that conversation, right? Because now you see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide for yourself, what will it look like for you?
Yeah. Well, I've always wondered why, like, even in the church, like, there's a whole book of the Bible. Sexual and very sensual. Unless it was about no fornicating and no adultery, that's it. That's all you got. That was all the sex talk that you're going to get in church.
Other than, no, I was gonna say other than Genesis, go form and populate.
Right, but it's just like, and even then, you know, it's like sex is for one thing. The marriage bed is undefiled, but you know, and depending on where you heard, it's like anything that's not missionary is a sin. I was like, but the marriage bed undefiled. So how? Like, it was just so contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
And it even, like, to see, it's like, okay, well, if sex is just for marriage, then why does it seem like married people in church are scared to even be, like, affectionate towards each other? And then you would see, like, and then there's always that one pastor who is, like, talking about how their wife, but their wife is like super uncomfortable with it. And it was just like so weird. Except, you know, for me, I'm also from the position of it, God created it.
Mm-hmm.
And so y'all are making it like it's just this terrible thing. And then I'm supposed to get married and it's supposed to be wonderful. And that just doesn't compute for me.
Well, it doesn't compute because, yes, does having sex possibly have long-term consequences? Yes, there's no doubt about that, right? Whether it's having a child, getting an STD, whatever, right? That can affect you long-term. But so can eating the wrong burger that wasn't, you know, barbecued the right way. I mean, and that's not a good example, but
right.
It's really just to say that proper education is the only way a person can make a choice for themselves when it comes to that, right? The more a person doesn't know, the more likely they're going to have to go to other sources. And sometimes, especially in our generation now, you know, my son has, and I think about even just not just my son, but like all the kids his age and so forth, they have access to YouTube, Reddit, Facebook, Snapchat. Mind you, yes, yeah, supposedly they're not supposed to be on those sites, but we all know they still are, yeah. Right?
Right.
And so now they're getting these messages about sex, but sometimes out of context. Yeah. Not even sometimes, a lot of times out of context. And
so now you're trying to beat everybody else to be like, I really don't want my kid to grow up this quickly. Mm-hmm. But he's gonna get it from somewhere else, and I'd rather him get it from me.
Yeah.
Or he gets it from them because they don't really know what the fuck they're talking about. And porn ain't real sex.
No.
And your friends don't know shit either.
No, they don't. But here's the problem though. If you're the parent who grew up where sex was a topic or a taboo, right? Then you're almost, by having that conversation with your child, you're almost experiencing a level, not necessarily, it's not trauma, but there's a certain level of awkwardness and uncomfortableness that, I know that's not even a word, that may actually stop you from having that conversation.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, it's like the wall comes right up and you're like, crap, like I know I could just get over the wall, but do I really want to? Because now it's a reflection of me. Right? Because whatever I tell my child, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to hold me to it.
Yeah. Those old things that have been programmed in you start to come up.
Yep.
Now, you know, obviously I come from a different perspective because I don't have children biologically. But like, so when my kid sister comes to me, and although I'm not her mother, I am much older than her. I realized at that point, I started to realize like shame took me for a long way, more longer than most, considering I lost it at 23. Most people aren't that. Aren't this not going to be a great motivator? And the thing is like, it wasn't until it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so I approached it with her very differently and really tried to instill in her at that point. It was probably, you know, a little late, like, if we probably would have worked on this when she was younger, to realize like, if you can approach it from a place of self-love, that sex isn't bad, but if you love yourself so much, you won't just give yourself to anybody. Cause at that point, yeah, that was more important for me. Like, you're going to have sex eventually, but I want you to love yourself enough that you don't just give yourself to anybody, mm-hmm. that you're empowered enough that you, if you don't want to do it, you say no. And that, yep, you know, you have a plan in place. Like if you're somewhere you don't feel safe, that you can always text me something and be like, and drop me your location and I'm on my way. And then if you do choose to have sex with somebody of your own free will that you want to have sex with, that you know how to advocate for yourself, that you are actually enjoying it. And my mother was so mad at me. Why would you tell her that? I'm like, she's going to have sex anyway. But guess what? If she listens to me and actually is realizing, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to enjoy myself, that is going to cancel out so many of these little boys.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's it's the empowerment behind it, right? You're empowered. She's empowered now to feel like this is something I own, right? This is not something that someone told me and mm-hmm. I'm just going off of and trying to.
And you don't. And what do they tell us in church? Oh, well, you know, you don't want to. This is your treasure. And so if give it to somebody, you know, it's like your value, it diminishes. And so it's like, no, baby, yet you are valuable. And so mm-hmm. you should definitely not just let anyone who isn't worthy worship at your throne. But your value doesn't diminish because you have sex.
It's like the bubble. It's a bubble that I found that churches live in. And, you know, granted, they'll say to you that, you know, this is our beliefs. This is our way of honoring God and Jesus and whatever other religion and so forth. Because their spiritual view of it, right, is it does not align with all the other, like, the other views, which you would think would be more cohesive, right? You know, mm-hmm. you talk about mind, body, and soul. You're giving me this very, very, how can I say this? It's almost like you took sex, right? The topic of sex, and you said, you know what? I'm going to take this small little piece, and I'm going to give you that little piece. But this whole rest of the part, don't worry about it. I got you. Mm-hmm. I'll spoon feed you some more as time goes by. Maybe. Right? And then when you get old, you realize the little piece that they told me, that was still like this whole other, like,
so much more.
And granted, I'm not going to say that it's the job of a parent to basically tell their child that this is how you're supposed to have sex and this is how it's going to go. If nothing else, you save yourself the opportunity of your child going into places which we never always know where they're going, whether it's mm-hmm. online, whether it's in person and so forth, that they're protected by the knowledge that we provide them. And is it a weird conversation? Yes. I mean, I had to have that conversation and it was kind of weird. But you know what? I was actually kind of proud of myself and proud of him because one, I realized one, how much he knew, right? So now I'm coming in knowing like, okay, I can dispel whatever myths that you have. But I think that if nothing else, he comes from it knowing that if I needed to talk about it, I could, right? Do I really want to? Whatever.
Let me tell you, having this open conversation, the relationship that I have with my baby sister, I'm grateful that she can come to me. I really am. But sometimes I'll be like, girl, I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. No. But, you know, at the same time, like, I'm still grateful that she comes to me because if, you know, I'm able to be like, nah, that's not okay. Or no, if it hurts, no, baby, like, I'm not giving her business. This is not actual conversations before anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, sister, tell her. Like, but if she were to come to me and say things like that, I'm able to be like, no, or yes, or it's okay if you are interested in kink, but you need to, you know, talk about these things. You need to have mm-hmm. conversation. You don't just do that with anybody. No, like, you need to do that with a trusted person. And no man that you just casually sleeping with should you be doing that kind of, you know, and because if not, if they don't have anybody to be able to have those conversations with, you know that you can find any manner of thing on the internet.
Anything.
And they may not find the right thing.
Oh, they definitely won't.
But they probably won't.
No, they probably won't. Well, it's
and how would they know if it's right or wrong?
Well, it brings me back to, it brings me back to the idea of porn, right? We think about like, oh, it is what it is. But yet millions of people digest this stuff for a reason. Okay? And the people who do digest it and pretend like they don't, that's also a form of shame. Mm-hmm. Right? I was just thinking the same thing. And so I think if nothing else at this point, and for me, the takeaway would be it's okay to acknowledge the experience you had as a child or as a young adult when it comes to sex, and knowing that going beyond your comfort zone, especially if you have children, makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you know everything and you're going to be able to navigate them through it, just, you know, through every piece of it. But just starting that conversation, even just a little bit, it makes a big difference than never having it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if our generation of parents learning from what we did or did not get are having healthier, more grounded conversations with the younger generation, then it makes me excited for what their generation could look like when it comes to sex. I mean, you already see it with Gen Z as far as like consent and things like that, and the way that they champion, you know, LGBTQIA plus mm-hmm. issues and stuff like that, that, you know, obviously it's not perfect, but no. We're getting closer, you know, even with young men, you know, as far as the fact that so many of our millennial generation and older just did not get an actual conversation. And then, you know, and we won't go into, you know, like, we didn't get into, and that could be a whole separate episode on what, if any, kind of sex education people are getting in school. What does that, you know,
yeah, that's
like,
that's a whole nother thing,
but it gives me hope that, you know, as much as it's still taboo to have these conversations out in the open and that this is going on the interwebs, that we're still having them. And, you know, from like the married couple that you said, from singles to people in relationships, church, Christian, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, all walks of life, we're having them. And we're learning, we're being more open, we are actively shedding the shame, because sex is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It's not dirty unless you want it to be, and you're all consenting adults. And quite frankly, you know, kids are unfortunately having sex at young ages. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to sit here and be blind and act like they're not, we're doing them and our society a disservice. So, you know, hopefully if you're listening to this, you got some laughs, you thought about, you know, your first times and your sex education. And if you have, you know, children in your, you know, if you have children, if you're an auntie, and of course, you know, don't disrespect a parent, you know, whatever. But, you know, be that resource, be someone that they could come to. Deal with your discomfort. Don't make them uncomfortable, because they need it. We need mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. We need to have these conversations. Too many of us aren't even having conversations with our partners. And so, you know, it's really important to do that. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we're getting better at this, and that our future is a little bit brighter. Because sex education and not abstinence education, but sex education has been proven, and access to contraception has been proven mm-hmm. to truly, truly diminish teen pregnancy more than anything else. So that is how we will end this episode of Sex and Sensuality for the Churchy. And happy 40th birthday to me.
Oh, yes, yes. yes.
My party was a bomb, was great. We had a good time. If you weren't there, you missed it. But be on the lookout for more stuff. And make sure you go and sign up for my newsletter at www.theradiantsessions.com. And until next time, I'll end the episode like I always do. Be as radiant as the sun. Bye.
Bye-bye.